Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Juneau City Clerk's Office certified a citizen ballot proposition late last week that seeks to raise the city's cap on the local property tax rate, also known as the mill rate. The move would return the tax rate back to where it was before voters approved lowering it last fall. The certification means the proposition will appear on Juneau's municipal ballot this fall. Pat Race, an advocate behind the proposition, says it got an overwhelming amount of support from residents, surpassing the necessary number of signatures of support by more than 400.
We had a good welcome from people in the community. You know, people were eager to sign. It wasn't hard to gather these signatures. We had a lot of folks come to us, and I think that there's going to be some good momentum heading into October to get these passed and to kind of patch the hole in the budget.
Last municipal election, voters approved a ballot measure that placed a cap of 9 mills on the city's property tax rate. An advocacy group called the Affordable Juneau Coalition brought it forward, saying the goal was to make Juneau more affordable by reducing the tax burden for residents. However, proponents for the new proposition want to reverse it back to 12 mills. They see that the lower mill rate doesn't actually benefit Juneau's most financially vulnerable population because it only applies to property owners. The proposition will be on the ballot alongside another one that seeks to implement a 1% seasonal sales tax in Juneau during the tourism season. Right now, the city taxes residents at 5%. The additional 1% seasonal tax is intended to help the city's indoor and outdoor recreation. Here's Race again.
We're really excited to have this be on the ballot along with the 1% seasonal sales tax. I think that both of these measures dovetail really well and help to fix the hole that we put in the city budget last year.
Both propositions came about after the Juneau Assembly threatened to cut services or close some facilities this spring due to a multi-million dollar budget gap, in part due to the lower mill rate and other tax cuts. The Assembly ultimately preserved the closure of Juneau's pools and Diamond Park Fieldhouse after public outcry, but voted in favor of closing the Mount Jumbo Gym on Douglas Island. Election day for Juneau's by-mail election is Tuesday, October 6th. Ballots will be mailed to register voters on September 18th. And during the last weekend of LGBTQ Pride Month, Juneau's drag artists put together a sold-out show at a new venue in town. People there said the show is a celebration of community, love, and resistance. KTOO's Alex Solomon has more.
3 days of performances, 15 drag artists, Bubbles, a giant rainbow flag, Cookie Monster, sequins, glitter, and glam. This is GLITZ, Juneau's annual LGBTQ plus pride extravaganza. And this year, more than 300 people attended. It's drag king Ruben Strange's third drag performance. Dressed as Sailor Mercury, a character in the Sailor Moon anime franchise, Ruben Strange lip-synced, danced, and blew bubbles into the crowd to a song mashup of I Wanna Break Free and Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. Strange hung out in the lobby during intermission.
But it was great. It was amazing. I loved how I had a bubble gun just everywhere. And people were just like having a blast with it. And that's my favorite part.
Offstage, Strange says she's a trans woman who came out at the age of 30. And she says GLITZ means what pride means to her.
It's this like out and loud megaphone of we are here, we belong here, we're not going anywhere. It is resistance.
Carly Lemieux spent Friday volunteering at the cash register, exchanging cash for dollar bills so attendees could shower the performers with tips. She says GLITZ, to her, means community.
The people and the creativity and the love and the openness, and I'm like, these are my people, this is where I need to be.
She says she felt welcomed into the Juneau drag scene. Juneau drag is organized by local drag artist Gigi Monroe, who started GLITZ in 2015. The show is filled with gender expression in the form of glamorous outfits, lip-syncing, and dancing. This year, it was held at the Aurora Grand Theater. The theater will officially open in July, but has hosted a couple of pop-up shows while undergoing renovations. Weaving through the plush theater seats, drag queen Aria B. Cassadine belts out I'm So Excited by the Pointer Sisters. She's traveled from Chicago to sing live at Juneau's biggest drag event of the year. Cassadine has competed in drag competitions and pageants across the country. She was a finalist on RuPaul's show Queen of the Universe and won Miss Gay Black America in 2018. This is her first time at Juneau GLITZ. It's an audience member's first time at GLITZ, too. Bethany Gasson is a life coach who has lived in Juneau for around 18 years.
Absolutely, my biggest thing is being authentic to who you are. So For me, this is everything that I talk about.
Gasson says she's not a member of the LGBTQ plus community herself, but is supportive of family members who are. And in a flashy rhinestone jumpsuit, it's clear she got the outfit memo. In Juneau, I'm Alex Allman.
And the Alaska Supreme Court says Dan J. Sullivan must be included on the ballot for U.S. Senate seat. The court sent the case back to the Division of Elections to decide on how the challenger's name will appear. Sullivan is a retired teacher from Petersburg. He shares a name and chose the same party affiliation as the Republican incumbent Senator Dan Sullivan. The Division of Elections kicked him off the ballot because, it said, his aim was to confuse voters. But during oral arguments on Monday morning, the justices repeatedly returned to the idea that the division could just differentiate the two candidates, with, for example, middle names. Chief Justice Suzanne Carney questioned whether the division had to go as far as disqualifying the candidate to prevent confusion.
The remedy that the division has chosen is the most extreme possible remedy. Why not use one of the lesser ones?
Monday's order, which was released about 3 hours after oral arguments concluded, was barely 100 words. The court says it will issue a longer opinion later. The case may not be entirely concluded, though. The division has proposed to list the challenger with his full name and label him a nonpartisan. His attorney, Jeffrey Robinson, said the state has no authority to strip him of his chosen party affiliation. And a group of Alaska Native organizations is launching a new rural veterinary public health program next month to provide care for animals in dozens of villages across the state. As Ilonia Nijden with the Alaska Desk reports, that includes rabies vaccinations, testing for infectious disease, as well as spaying and neutering.
Mike Williams is a musher and the chief of the village of Akiak in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta region. He says he and other Alaska Native leaders for years have been advocating for more veterinary care in villages like his.
In recent times in Akiak, there were two rabid foxes shot this past winter, and there are many loose dogs. I think the main need is vaccinations with rabies and parvo that kills a lot of our animals.
The Alaska Federation of Natives new program is in partnership with the nonprofit, Alaska Native Rural Veterinary. The two-year initiative will bring veterinary services to 80 villages, according to a press release AFN shared last week. Williams is an advisor for the program. Arlie Reynolds is a former musher and the medical director for Alaska Native Rural Veterinary, which brings free vet services to villages. He says rabies is endemic in northern and western Alaska, and up to 25 people are exposed to the virus each year. The exposure usually happens when rabid wildlife, like foxes, bite village dogs.
Dogs have been part of life in rural Alaska since people have been in rural Alaska. When something that has always been a huge benefit to a society becomes a potential threat, it's really a problem. It disrupts the whole foundations of that society or culture.
Reynolds says it's difficult to access veterinary care in villages off the road system, and traveling to get care is costly and sometimes leaves villages without valued professionals for long stretches of time. Reynolds says that additionally, some parts of Alaska experience 7 times the national average of reported cases of children bitten by dogs. He says he hopes the new initiative can help address both of these issues.
This program actually will save, most importantly, it'll save trauma on people and dogs, but it'll also save communities and health providing organizations an incredible amount of money.
Taking care of pets in villages can also help protect subsistence resources, Reynolds says. One example is vaccinating against distemper that's contagious and fatal to wildlife like seals that many Alaska Native communities hunt. In the past decade, tribes have passed several resolutions at AFN conventions to support improvements to veterinary care. Last year, Senator Lisa Murkowski co-sponsored a bill to get vet care paid by the Indian Health Service. Representative Nick Begich also introduced legislation to improve access to vet services for tribes. The authors of the new program say they hope it will act as a bridge on the path toward permanent and sustainable veterinary care for tribes. In Anchorage, I am Alona Nijden.
And now for a quick look at weather in Juneau at the Juneau International Airport. It is overcast and 57 degrees this afternoon. Tonight, a chance of sprinkles before 1 a.m. And tomorrow, a chance of sprinkles before 10 a.m. Then a chance of showers after 10 a.m. Wednesday night, a 30% chance of showers after 10 p.m. And Thursday, showers are likely as well. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.